Welcome to a new edition of our Diocesan podcast, Big City Catholics, with Bishop Robert Brennan, the Diocesan Bishop of Brooklyn and Queens, and myself, Father Christopher Henu, here at St. Joan of Arc Parish. We're very excited today to be joined by Bishop-elect Manuel Rodriguez, priest of the Diocese of Brooklyn here, who has recently been appointed as the successor of Bishop Barbarito in the Diocese of Palm Beach in Florida. As we record this podcast with 22 degrees outside, I'm sure that Bishop-elect Manuel may not ever have to experience those temperatures as you enjoy the new diocese set before you in Palm Beach. We're very happy to have you, but before we begin, we'll start in prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. We ask our Blessed Mother's intercession upon us and upon the faithful which we are called to shepherd, the Diocese of Brooklyn and the Diocese of Palm Beach, and all of those who join us each and every week as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Bishop-elect, thank you for joining us.
I am very excited and grateful for the invitation.
It's been quite a couple of weeks for you, Bishop-elect Manuel.
Yes. Oh, yes, indeed. You know everything about it. Yeah,
I do. We had an interesting Sunday, didn't we? It was in Advent. I got a call. I was in Douglaston at ICC Center on a Sunday afternoon, and I saw that the nuncio had called me. Cardinal Pierre had called me. I dutifully called him back, and he surprised me and told me that the Holy Father had appointed you to be the next Bishop of Palm Beach. Then he just wanted to double check contact information. And then I think I'm going to have you take it from there. Then I think you got a phone call.
Yes. Yes. You know, that was an unforgettable afternoon. It was Sunday, December the 14th. I got the call at 4:40 p.m. I was in the rectory kitchen in Our Lady of Sorrows. And as usual, on Sunday, the whole day, the kitchen was crazy because the traffic was, you know, always the way it is. A lot of people, deacons, lay people, other priests. There was even a visiting priest from Mexico, Father Pedro Sanchez from the Archdiocese of Puebla, because he's been coming for a number of years to preach and to preside over the feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, which happened just that weekend. On Friday. So he was getting ready to go back to Mexico the day after. So he was here. And when the cell phone rang, I look at the screen, you know, it shows apostolic nunciature. And I go, in my mind, you know, the kitchen again was full of people. And I, you know, I'm watching at the screen and I see apostolic nunciature. And I thought to myself, what a weird thing that, you know, someone is calling from an office on a Sunday afternoon where offices are supposedly closed. How weird. I didn't make a thing of it. You know, I just saw the number. My first thought, believe it or not, you know, for our friends that are listening, you know, I advise Bishop on canonical matters. So my first thought was perhaps there is an update on one of the cases or something. I thought, well, my goodness, perhaps I didn't mess anything and a document is missing or something. The initial thought was something is happening with one of the matters that we are conducting. So when I answered, a very strong and friendly voice on the other side said, good evening, this is Cardinal Pierre, the Apostolic Nuncio. Is this Father Manuel? And I go, yes, Your Eminence, it's me. Good evening. He goes, are you in a place where you can talk to me in private? And then I said, no, but I can be in momentarily. I can be in, you know, so I went to a different room when I was by myself. Once I was there, I told him, I'm alone now. We can you can go ahead. And he said, well, I have news. I got news. The Holy Father has appointed you as the Bishop of Palm Beach. And I just heard Holy Father and beach, you know, I didn't hear anything else. And I stayed speechless. And he goes, do you understand what I said? I said, I think, but first of all, are you sure that you are the apostolic nuncio? And I told him, because, you know, these days with the AI and all that stuff, you never know, you know, you never know. And he goes, no, 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 you have to believe it's me. And he started laughing. He said, no, you know, yes, the Holy Father has thought that this is the way to go. You know, he said, I got your number from your bishop. And I said, this makes this more credible because, yeah, how does he know my number? You know, wow, okay. What I was paying attention after that, more that to the words, was to the accent, because it came very clear that his French accent was there. So that makes me be more trusted. This was a legitimate call, and it was him, in fact, you know. And then, you know what? Because of my incredulity, I did something that perhaps I should have done. But I did it because I wanted to make sure that you know that this was a true call. I knew. So the Mexican priest that was visiting was Cardinal Pierre, was before being the nuncio in the United States, served as the apostolic nuncio in Mexico. So the Mexican priest that is visiting here last year mentioned to me something very funny that happened to him, because when Cardinal Pierre was in Mexico as a nuncio, he, for some events, he was introduced to this priest, Father Pedro Sanchez. He's a doctor, a medical doctor, and he also practices medicine as a priest in Mexico. So at some point they connected when Cardinal Pierre was there. And when Cardinal Pierre became a cardinal, he invited Father Pedro to the consistory in Rome. And Father Pedro went to the consistory in Rome. So when the ceremony was over, when Cardinal Pierre became a cardinal, they went to a reception. And at some point, he asked the cardinal to take a picture with him. And they were about to take the picture. And some other cardinal that Father Pedro didn't know was passing by and said, oh, I want to be in that picture. Let me be in that picture too. And this cardinal went in between Father Pedro and Cardinal Pierre. So Father Pedro just smiled and didn't say anything. And then when they both left, when both cardinals left, he texted me the picture from Rome and asked me, Manuel, I think this cardinal is American, because he was speaking English. Do you know who he is? Because he just came into my picture with I want to know who, and it was Cardinal Dolan.
Oh, isn't that something?
I told Father Pedro, that's the Archbishop of New York. You kidding? No, that you know, that's Cardinal Dolan. He told me. So I had that in my mind. So I told Cardinal Pierre when he was calling me, there's a priest here that knows you from Mexico. He's visiting. His name is Pedro Sanchez from the Archdiocese of Puebla. Would you like to say hello? In my mind, I was thinking, if this is the apostolic nuncio, he would know who Father Pedro is. And then he said, no, no, Manuel, bring my regards to him, but after this announcement is made public.
Right, exactly. Because
if you call him now, he will be suspicious. So no. So then I realized, this is truly a legitimate call. This is the cardinal of the apostolic ministry. Yeah.
You're sort of like Gideon in the book of Judges. You know, Lord, send me a sign and let the dew be on the towel, but not on the grass. And then the next morning, send me another sign, let the dew be on the grass, but not on the towel. That's sort of like you with the cardinal. You did all these different tests to make sure it's authentic.
To make sure. Now, you know, he was very kind. He was very, very paternal and friendly and fraternal. And the way he conveyed the message was very reassuring, you know, very supportive. It wasn't like business call. No, 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 no. It was very personal.
The day that this airs on Friday, the 30th of January, and I'm going to be going down to the Nunciature on this very day, his 80th birthday is approaching. So there's a celebration, a Thanksgiving for his service to the United States. And I'm really glad to be able to do that. He has been a remarkable support to the bishops in the United States. He has a pastoral way about him. He's been present. He's been up here in for Catholic Charities. I've had him for Our Lady of Guadalupe in Columbus. He responds, he's present, he's concerned, he listens to our concerns, he gives advice. He's given a great amount of service to the United States.
I think of it too as a whole generation of the episcopacy of the United States have these similar stories, these accounts. And often you hear the story of how they knew they could hear this sort of a French accent on the other side of the phone, and the same very interesting, "Are you alone?" moment. This man has had an incredible impact through working, of course, as a representative of both Pope Francis and now Pope Leo XIV, which is such an incredible impact in the local church here in America. And just to think, what's interesting for me as a priest hearing all of this, and Bishop Brennan and Bishop Elect, you could speak to this, I think, is the way in which the Lord calls you from your home and sends you forth to a foreign land, literally. I mean, Bishop Brennan, you had the chance to serve the people of Columbus, Ohio. It was, again, outside
new
of your
experience.
New experience. And now following a former Brooklynite, then Father Barbarito, now Bishop Barbarito of Palm Beach, Bishop-elect, you get this same chance to experience that missionary world being sent to another diocese and to bring that message to the people there. It's pretty incredible.
Tell us about Palm Beach.
Palm Beach is an area of Florida that it's tremendously blessed in many ways, naturally and also apostolically, because as we know, Palm Beach is a region of sea and golfing that offers so much richness in terms of nature and the openness of the spaces and the people also who live there as well. But also it's a growing reality in terms of the church presence there, because this diocese, the Catholic diocese in Palm Beach, is a young diocese that was founded in 1984. Think about that. It's perhaps one of the newest founded dioceses in the entire country. And it's still growing. It's still thinking in opening new parishes because the population is growing, especially towards the north side of the diocese, connecting with Orlando. You know, the population is expanding and they're finding themselves in this need of growing. And so it is certainly a land of hope, if I may, and a land of new borders, new horizons for the church in terms of evangelization. For example, as Father Chris was saying, I see this territory as a blessing for myself and also for the church in general, because it is a land of new horizons and new realities, new people. A lot of people are just coming now as we speak to begin a new chapter in their lives in Palm Beach, either for reasons of business or personal reasons. Also the seniors relocating there, you know, for the weather conditions and all of that. So it is an interesting reality and expansion, Palm Beach, yeah.
Bishop Barbarito often calls it the sixth borough of New York.
Yeah.
Many New Yorkers are down that way. Mm-hmm. What do you see as some of the greater challenges or maybe some of your immediate priorities?
Well, you know that, for example, one of the good things that is actually taking place in all of Florida, but specifically also in Palm Beach, is, for example, Catholic education. Now that we are also in the Catholic Schools Week, they have the good luck of getting a lot of support in terms of the vouchers. The state of Florida sponsors for the families, so they can afford Catholic education, and that has become a tremendous source of future, you know, and hope in terms of the ability of the church to promote Catholic education through the schools. So they have right now, if I remember correctly, 22 Catholic schools between elementary schools and high schools, thanks in part to this support, this strong support from the state. Looking into that, you know, I think that one of the priorities would be the youth ministry in terms of also involving the youth already present in the schools and in the parishes, and also in light of the upcoming World Youth Day, to which I'm sure that Bishop Brennan is already thinking, you know,
we about. We have a group. Father Caroli is already putting it together, yes.
Yeah. And so is Father Chris, I'm sure. You know, I'll be looking into our participation in the World Youth Day and working with the youth. They do have a very sound and extensive youth ministry program in the diocese. But, you know, I'm looking to join that and keep supporting it and engage in these possibilities. Also, another area of apostolate that I look forward to engage as soon as possible is the terrific work that they are already achieving in terms of social justice. For example, Catholic Charities in Palm Beach, they have a very, very important presence in the area in different fronts. They, you name it, they work with human trafficking victims.
Yeah.
Yeah. They work with the homeless. They work with housing. Catholic Charities in Palm Beach, it does unbelievable work in so many different fronts. They really are engaging the community in different ways. So I look forward to join them also, support the work that they're already doing. They have an amazing team there. The leader of Catholic Charities is a lady. Her name is Dr. Ellen Wayne. She's delightful and so conscious of all these needs. They do work with migrants as well. They provide clothing, they provide food, you know. So this is something beautiful that the church is doing in Palm Beach through Catholic Charities. And I look forward to join that too. Yeah.
That's great. That really is great. And, you know, I'll tell you, as a bishop here in New York, I'm glad that you're going to be part of the Conference of Bishops. You're going to be part of our gatherings, and I think you're going to bring a lot of wisdom and a lot of energy to the other bishops in the United States. You're going to be a welcome addition to the conference. We're really glad about that. You know, I was thinking when you were talking about the nuncio's call about 4:40, on an ordinary Sunday in December, the parish still had Sunday masses going. You were in one and had another one still to go. You're leaving a very, very busy place at Our Lady of Sorrows.
Yeah, yeah, it was busy. The 4:30 p.m. Mass already started, and the 6 p.m. was coming up. And I had appointments also that evening. So I had to cancel them because...
You were in shock.
I had to talk to you, as I did, you know.
That's
thank
right.
God. And then
to Bishop Barbarito,
and then to the chapel, just to be alone with the Lord for a while. Thank you, Bishop. Thank you so much from my heart for welcoming me in the conference. I have to say, especially to the brothers and sisters that are listening, that you have been a father always, but a father that has really taken in a very genuine manner this mission onto me to guide me, especially through this transition that is really not easy. And your words of welcoming it are amazing. As I said at the Our Lady of Altagracia Mass, in your heart, there's a lot of love for everybody, the priests, the people, you know, but you have a special love also for the Dominican people. And you said that love comes from Long Island, you know, when you served the parish.
At St. Agnes, at the Cathedral of St.
Agnes.
The Spanish Mass was largely a Dominican community. So Father Herman, the priest who was there at the time, when I was moving, he said, don't forget your first love. So it's not my only love, but it was my first love in the Spanish-speaking world. Exactly. You know, this week we're into some pretty busy times. So you mentioned the Altagracia Mass, and you preached so beautifully at that and spoke about, you know, the Mary just bestowing her graces, but you also give a very pro-life message. And that comes just before the March for Life that took place this past weekend. I was down in Washington, and it was really an incredible witness. The Mass was just packed. But the fact is, there's a strong witness in favor of life. Unfortunately, we live in a world that doesn't value life the way it should in a society and in a state. But the flip side of that is that there are many people who not only are very pro-life, but who give strong witness to the value and the dignity of life.
Absolutely. And thank you again, Bishop, for the opportunity of sharing some of these important and urgent concerns at the homily within Our Lady of Altagracia Mass at the Co-Cathedral last week. I do believe that this is not just a matter of being pro-life. You know, I am pro-life, of course, you know, because first of all, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you believe in Jesus, life should matter for you. But this is also a matter of basic human concern, because if we keep the way, unfortunately, society has taken in this area, we soon will be finding ourselves in a horrible situation of the feasibility of our future as a human family. You go to certain towns in Europe, with all due respect, you don't see children. And you see completely desertic areas in many countries of Western Europe because there are no children. This is a concern that we need to keep in mind. You know, this is the future of our human family. You know, without kids, there's no future.
Yeah, that's right.
There's no right. future.
There's no future.
And if you look at the statistics, 1 million abortions a year in the US alone. Come on, 1 million kids being killed, you know, in the name of an ideology. Come on, you know, this is something that is simply unacceptable. And if you keep adding the numbers, you know, adding the numbers, for example, okay, it's 1 million preborn babies murdered through abortion every year. It's not just an opinion. That's the reality. You can just go ahead right. and Google it, and you see the numbers. If you add to that 45,000 people in the U.S. every year killing themselves through suicide,
and that's just been made legal here in New York.
And now in New York we have the assisted suicide law. What is going on with us? You know. Where is our politician's mind? What's going on?
It's a very serious issue. Let me change to kind of end on a little bit of a positive note, because you speak of our children and you speak of the opportunities in Palm Beach to build new schools. Father Henyu and Bishop-elect Rodriguez, we're in the middle of Catholic Schools Week. We lost a day with that snow on the weekend, but we're making up for lost time. How has it been Catholic Schools Week in the parishes?
If I may say, yeah, we were kicking off Catholic Schools Week on Sunday. And of course, we meant to have an open house and all that. That got postponed to this upcoming Sunday. Unfortunately, we had to reschedule a visit with Bishop Cisneros, who was coming to celebrate International Diversity Day. And, you know, Jackson Heights and Bishop-elect Manuel knows it well. Our neighborhoods are so diverse. Jackson Heights, this zip code, 11372, is the most diverse zip code in Queens County, and Queens County being the most diverse county in the country. So we celebrate that diversity. And unfortunately, we'll have to postpone that as well because of the ice. And it's been a little bit of a rough week, I must say, but the kids are awesome. They're keeping the joy alive. We're giving them, you know, movie time and opportunities to just relax and have some pizza parties. And I have a surprise for them tomorrow. I can say this now because it'll release on Friday and it'll already have happened, but Mr. and Mrs. Met are coming to visit the school. Mr. and
oh,
Mrs.
Boy.
Met are coming to visit the school, and that'll be really, really exciting for
wow,
them.
Amazing.
I think, Bishop, you might have enjoyed to visit and meet Mr. and Mrs. Met.
Mrs. Met. Bishop-elect Manuel, are they your parishioners, Mr. and Mrs. Met?
No, but they are welcome. They're most welcome.
Well, you're right welcome. There by City Field.
Yeah, they're always welcome. We'll be having also a similar situation with our school here in Our Lady of Sorrows. But on Friday, we're going to have our school mass, you know, with all the whole school celebrating Catholic School Week. And next Sunday, we're going to have another big mass with the whole community. So hopefully we can, you know, have more attendance this coming Sunday.
The other thing, Bishop, well, I had mentioned earlier that Bishop Arboretto calls Palm Beach the sixth borough of New York because there are so many New Yorkers down that way. But it is interesting that we have a nice relationship with the Diocese of Palm Beach and the Diocese of Brooklyn. So the founding bishop of Palm Beach became bishop here after his tenure in Palm Beach. Bishop Daly served in Palm Beach and then came up here to Brooklyn. And then Brooklyn sent Bishop Arboretto to Ogdensburg, and then from Ogdensburg he was sent to Palm Beach. So a Brooklyn priest who was serving in Palm Beach, and now his successor, so another Brooklyn priest. So there's a real closeness between those two dioceses.
Three bishops connecting both dioceses. Yeah.
And in addition to Bishop Arboretto's coming retirement, he also marks another milestone.
Oh, Bishop Arboretto's 50th anniversary as a priest. His priest ordination anniversary is happening Saturday, January 31st. He was ordained January 31st, 1976, when he was a deacon serving at St. Francis of Assisi Parish, you know?
Uh-huh.
And then the costume was back then, if I'm correct, that the deacons, the transitional deacons, were ordained in the parish where they were serving, were ordained as priests. He had that opportunity, and Bishop Mugavero ordained him a priest 50 years ago. Ever since, Bishop Barbarito has been, he was even before, but especially ever since, he has been very, very spiritually connected to St. John Bosco. Because January 31st, as we know, is the feast day of St. John Bosco. The father and the teacher of the youth. So he has a special devotion to St. John Bosco, even to the point that he brought St. John Bosco to his coat of arms. St. John Bosco is represented in his coat of arms through a forest. Through a forest, Bosco in Italian,
Bosco, okay.
A forest. So he has a special devotion to St. John Bosco, and he feels very connected to St. John Bosco's, not only for his obvious Italian background, but also because of his love for the church, Don Bosco's love for the church, his love for the youth, you know, for the work with the youth, his love for the Blessed Virgin Mary. Mary, Help of Christians. All of that makes Bishop Barbarito very enthusiastic and very much a Don Bosco guy. So,
and that's something you share, that devotion to Don Bosco. You have the Salesian formation yourself.
Exactly. So that makes us very connected. And, you know, when he found out that I had Salesian, that I was coming from the Salesian world, he was also very happy to share with me his love for Don Bosco. And he explained to me the symbols that he had in his coat of arms, pointing at it in the cathedral. So he is celebrating. Look at this. This is perhaps one of the most amazing parts of this. Bishop Barbarito is celebrating his 50th anniversary as a priest. How? Going to a resort or going to a big party? He is ordaining a priest on Saturday. He's ordaining Father Jedidiah Preble, who is the only priest Palm Beach Diocese is ordaining this year. He's going to be ordained Saturday by Bishop Barbarito at the cathedral. And that's how Bishop Barbarito is celebrating his 50th anniversary.
Isn't that fantastic? That's wonderful. That's so uplifting. And what a great gift, right? On your 50th anniversary now, to bestow that gift on another who will now, the next 50 plus years, will continue in the priesthood of Jesus Christ. That's great. That really is. And on January 31st, we're a little busy here in Brooklyn, aren't we?
Oh, Father boy. Bishop, you're absolutely right. A lot of good things happening in our church is on January 31st. We're blessed to welcome and invite last-minute invitations for those who may be tuning in today to the Feast of St. Bridget, in honor of St. Bridget of Ireland, our second annual feast. I will say we have 5 buses confirmed from different parishes throughout the diocese, and I imagine that the buses will be more popular now with the snow and limited parking availability. But we're very excited to have step dancers, some Irish music. We'll have some Irish sausages and shepherd's pie, and should be a fun time. We're hoping for a good crowd, but we just know that it's a nice way for us to celebrate our Irish heritage. So you're talking about Altagracia, of course, for our Blessed Mother of the Dominican Republic. This is one of our other ways in which we celebrate the diversity of our diocese through the Irish apostolate. So very excited for that, too.
Bishop-elect Manuel, we look forward to your ordination on the 24th of February. We look forward to celebrating, although we're going to miss you here in Brooklyn and Queens.
And I will miss you more because believe me, Bishop, it's not easy to leave Brooklyn.
No, I bet.
It's not easy. Nope. It's not easy.
I get you. I hear you.
Give me your prayers, and thank you for mentioning about the ordination. That will be a day in which I really need everyone's prayers in a special way. Me and the Diocese of Palm Beach. I would like to share something very quickly. As Bishop Brennan knows, one of the requirements is that we need to attend a full week of retreat before the ordination. I had the opportunity to, upon Bishop Brennan's and Bishop Barbarito's invitation, to join the bishops of Florida in their yearly retreat in Tampa at the beginning of January. At some point during the retreat, I was having a private conversation with Bishop Barbarito. And at the end of the conversation, he looked at me I told him, Bishop Barbarito, as you know, I will be counting on you. I'll be relaxed because he, thanking God, he's going to stay there. You know, thanking the Lord, he's going to stay in Palm Beach. So I was telling him, I look forward to, you know, I rely on your advice and I look forward to your support and be with you. And he let me finish. And then he looked at me, you know, he looked at me in the eyes and he said, yes, but I need you to know that you will be my bishop. He said wow. That. You will be my bishop. That scared me, oh my dear. That scared me a lot. You know, when I heard that, I look forward for you to be my bishop as well, he said. In my heart, God bless Bishop Barbarito. That is, wow, an expression,
he's a good man,
of
a holy man.
So much love for the church and so much love for the mystery that the church is, you know, to all of us. You know, amazing.
Amen. You can certainly be assured of our prayers. Bishop-elect, perhaps speaking of prayers, if you would end our podcast today with a blessing.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, may the Lord bless us. May the Lord bless Bishop Brennan, Father Chris, in this amazing ministry, this podcast, Big City Catholics. May the Lord keep blessing the Diocese of Brooklyn and the Diocese of Palm Beach also. And may the Lord give us the light through His Holy Spirit that we all need to keep promoting the Catholic faith among our people, to keep promoting the dignity of persons, to keep fighting always for a better community, a better church, a better world. And let's finish with the words that the angel said to the Blessed Virgin, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Bishop-elect. Thank you, Bishop Brennan, and all who join us each and every week on this Diocesan Podcast, Big City Catholics. We hope that you'll tune in again next week. And Bishop-elect, be assured of our prayers on February 24th. We'll have more information on how to watch that incredible Mass, that Episcopal ordination on that day. God bless.